And Chris Renwick in for Guy Gordon today. He's going to be up in the Boyne area for the Tournament of Champions. We're doing a little flipsy-do today.
A little flip-flop.
He's gonna handle the duties on JR Afternoon. I'm here with you on JR Morning. It's great to be here. So back in 2012, the Supreme Court took on a case that decided whether or not minors, if they commit a crime, particularly a heinous crime, should be given a sentence of life with parole. The Supreme Court said that you got to have a special hearing to determine if a minor who commits a violent crime should be eligible for life in prison without the possibility of parole or with the possibility of parole. And that's called the Miller hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Today, Ethan Crumbly, the admitted shooter of the Oxford High School massacre that took place at the end of 2021, will be at his Miller hearing in court in front of Judge Kwame Brown. We're not going to learn the sentence today, but I want to get a little more in depth on what the Miller hearing is and what this could potentially mean for Ethan Crumbly. Todd Flood's an attorney and managing partner at Flood Law. He joins us. Todd, good morning to you. Good to have you.
Thanks for having me. Good morning.
So talk to us briefly a little bit about a Miller hearing. What is it? What can we expect?
Well, you're going to hear from, I think in this particular case, you're going to hear from about 12 witnesses. And the prosecution has the burden. They have the burden to prove by clear and convincing evidence that to rebut basically the presumption that Ethan Crumbly deserves life without parole. In other words, he comes out of prison basically in a coffin. So they have to show the aggravating circumstances, and they'll go down the list of the requirements that show that he was in a mental state, an emotional state that was well developed, that he committed these heinous crimes with premeditation, with planning. You're going to hear and see, I think, candidly, from the victims that were surrounding him that got shot and or watched, how he acted, how, you know, basically emotionless he was while he was doing this. And you're gonna see the video, parts of it, for which I saw. And it's the most disturbing video around. The defense is going to try to show mitigating factors that he wasn't developed well mentally and emotionally. Their big strife is going to probably come on the home life, that he didn't have a chance coming from the womb, basically because he was cast to the side by the parents and never had a chance. And the last factor that the defense is going to try to really hone in on is going to be he has the possibility of rehabilitation. So I think Karen McDonald is going to give you evidence today. It'll be live. I think it's going to be streamed.
It will.
She'll give you evidence today that's going to shock the conscience, I believe, and show that he isn't worthy. He's not going to have the ability to be rehabilitated. The etching in his brain and the etching of his acts are such that you can't change the spot of this leopard. So that's where I believe she's going to go. And from the evidence you see, it will shock the conscience.
And Todd, there were motions beforehand where they wanted to keep certain things out of this Miller hearing and keep some of the victims' families from testifying and talking. You're going to have that today. You're going to have this video today. I mean, right. It's just overwhelming. I mean, how does the defense really mount a defense for this young man when you have so much overwhelming, stuff from the prosecution side?
So there's a difference between the impact of the crime and the emotional portions of the crime and the factors that get into the mental state and the rehabilitation state. The defense has argued, you know, it's, we don't want the video in because it shows, you know, or the gory details, because it prejudices the judge, as opposed to show, you know, a factor of his home life or a factor of his mental state. Well, in the Miller hearing, you know, Lloyd, you bring up a good point. They have to show the circumstances of the crime. The government has to show the circumstances of the crime, and that's why they're bringing it in. But to answer your question about what is the defense really going to hone in on, they're going to bring in their own experts, the psychiatrists, and the counselors and the therapists, and try to get into the fact that he does have hope of being rehabilitated. And a judge has got a tough decision there. I know Judge Rowe. He's a young judge, but he's a good judge. He's a really good judge.
I think he's adjudicated this case so far really well, just from a non-law perspective. I think he's done a really great job so far.
Yeah, he is. Matter of fact, he's fair. He reads everything. Anytime there's a case or a motion in front of him, he takes it very seriously. He doesn't slough anything off. So I think, you know, he's hit it down the middle. And, you know, it's a tough decision, because the presumption is, Lloyd, that you have to start with the basis that you don't give a juvenile life without parole. You give them a term of years. That's the starting presumption. And I think the evidence, though, in this case, from the psychological standpoint, and the premeditation, the fact that he carried this out and wrote about it ahead of time. He wrote about it the day before, about how he was going to cause the biggest school shooting in Michigan history. So it was just such a calculated plan.
Well, and that's where you talked about the prosecution's efforts to paint this picture. Not only the state of mind that he was in that day of the shooting, but everything that led up to it. That's where the prosecution's head is at. It's what do we have to prove to show that this wasn't just a one-off, this wasn't just some drawings on some schoolwork. There was a pattern that led up to this, a pattern of knowingly, willingly able to carry out a crime like this. That's where the prosecution has to paint this picture.
Yeah, and I think they will. And it merits mention that Karen McDonald, coming into office, reversed 19 lifer offenses, that being juveniles that had life sentences without possibility of parole. So she found them to be violation of the Eighth Amendment, that the factors weren't properly considered. And her office had 19 people resentenced to parolable sentences. So when she's going at this and examines the evidence, you know she takes it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
my thought process is, because the public hasn't seen, or no one's seen what she has seen as far as the mm-hmm. evidence that this case has put in basically in her office, that everyone's going to have their eyes, I think we'll all be illuminated today if you watch it.
Hey Tom, we only have about 30 seconds left here. What does this do to a prosecutor? Obviously, you know better than anybody when you're dealing with maybe not quite violent crimes like this, but how does this change a prosecutor? This is a horrific case. Obviously, there's horrific evidence, but how does this change you as a law professional?
You know, the sandbox for which we live in is a very difficult sandbox if you deal with criminal law and homicides and the like. And there's some indelible imprints that come upon all of us that deal in this particular world and that sandbox. And I think, as I tell all of them, and Karen included, you better find a balance in life, because this can consume you, and you have to have, you know, that balance of your health, both mentally, physically, and spiritually. So if you don't, you can go off the edges and, you know, burn out quickly. But, you know, you also have to love what you do. You got to have a passion for this. And she obviously does.
And a passion to help the victims, a passion to help help bring some sort of closure to these families, because it's going to be a tough day for them, too. Todd Flood, appreciate the time as always, my friend. Thank you.
As always, thank you, Chris and Lloyd.
You got it.
See you, Todd.
Got to take a break. More coming up next on JR Morning.